Welcome to Winning Is Not Everything, where we bring sanity back to youth sports by focusing on character development, effort, and sportsmanship, not rankings and trophies. I'm your host, Sean Jensen, former NFL reporter, children's book author, and youth sports coach. It has been an absolute joy to talk to Ray Sherman, who coached 4 decades of football at the highest levels. But Coach Sherman's going to get personal in our third and final part. How? Stay tuned and find out. Team Snap is the presenting sponsor of the Winning Is Not Everything podcast. The spring sports season is just around the corner. Are you ready? Whether you're a coach running your team with the Team Snap app, an admin using Team Snap for business to manage your club or league, or a marketer looking to make noise in the youth sports space, Team Snap has got you covered. Visit teamsnap.com or download the Team Snap app from your app store for more information. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the stories and pearls of wisdom from Coach Ray Sherman over the last 2 episodes. He's dished out a lot of great stuff that I'm confident that you can learn from. In part 3, Coach Sherman is going to explain why he doesn't coach at football camps anymore, his advice for youth sports parents and young athletes, as well as how a future Hall of Fame player has become a part of his family. Who is that player? It's Aaron Donald, who recently announced his retirement from the NFL. Among Donald's accolades, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 10-time Pro Bowl selection, 8-time First Team All-Pro, and a Super Bowl champion. Without further ado, let's get to the third and final part with Coach Ray Sherman. What have you noticed? You've been around sports for your entire life. And why do you say now parents are crazier than ever? What do you think that attribute to?
I think a lot of times these parents think they know more than the coach sometimes. They think they had kids and maybe they might have played a sport. And then they think that they know better than you. They think I can teach them better than you. Or, well, this coach at this last camp said this about my son. Or he said that. And sometimes you could tell what kids are talented. You could tell. I mean, I had a kid tell me in Florida. He said, I'm just here because my mom didn't want me at home. She wanted me out of the house. That's why I'm here. You know, I just see a difference in the way parents acted. The parents are acting up because they think that their kids should be having playing time. And every kid shouldn't get a trophy. But now, it's a, you know, everybody gets trophies now for participating. And, you know, it wasn't like that when I was growing up. You know, everybody didn't get trophies. Let me give you another one. I was in New York. I did one in New York. And the parents felt, oh, we can't wait to see him hit. Can't wait to see him hit. And I said, they wanted me to hit on the first day. And I explained to the parents, I said, look, let me tell you this. I'm not going to hit kids on the first day because they got to learn how to tackle. They got to learn the proper technique. A lot of these kids have been sitting on the couch drinking milk and eating cookies all summer. They haven't done anything. And so I'm not going to take them out there and have them go head on and helmets and shoulder pads the first day. Somebody's going to get hurt. So I want to teach them the proper techniques of tackling and fundamentals first. So I did that with them, and they appreciated me because I explained to them. Then, a few years later, the camp director, who the owner, wanted us to hit. And so the first day he got in pants, we started hitting. And I was holding my breath because I was hoping I helped nobody gets hurt, you know? Because I said, I don't want to be getting sued because of that's happening, but parents had to sign, you know, some forms on, you know, this is fostering right. That things can happen. So I don't want to endanger a kid because he don't know the proper technique. That's not me. That's what I don't believe in. And so when it started going more towards that shot, that's what I knew. I said, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to be a part of some kid getting hurt. And then you start hitting them early and then going head on. And then all of a sudden you got early signs of concussions or, you know, early signs of CTE or anything. You just don't know. And I didn't want to be a part of that.
Coach, within your own family, I mean, you've got yourself a legendary son-in-law. One of the things that I think people forget, obviously, he is the standard when it comes to defensive tackles and already on a historic pace to be a Hall of Fame player. But I think people forget that he was a 3-star guy. Right in high school. Tell the listeners a little bit about your son-in-law. What is it about him that you admire? Because again, on the outside, all we see is this superstar athlete who's literally one of the best doing it and to ever do it. But what is it about him that you appreciate?
Sean, I'm going to tell you this. I was at the Rams in St. Louis when we drafted him. And I told, being in St. Louis, you always got a lot of the Pitt games on TV. So when I started watching Pitt, I kept seeing this guy in the backfield all the time. I said, God, every week, Sean. It didn't care. I didn't care if it was Notre Dame, Air Force, West Virginia. I didn't care who it was. He was always in the backfield. And I said, this guy's unbelievable. So I went, well, we had our Saturday games. I mean, we're home games. And they're on. I stayed home just to watch him.
Wow.
So when we were getting ready for the draft, it's true story. When we get ready for the draft, I go into Mike Waffle, our D-line coach. And I said, Mike, I said, have you seen Aaron Donald play? He said, no, Ray, I hadn't looked at film yet. I said, Mike, look at him and you tell me what you think. When he was getting evaluated, he looked at him. He said, this guy is unbelievable. He's unbelievable. So then when we have our draft meeting, you know, you get 8-0 was the highest, all right? And then we had a ceiling here is 8-0. And then we had the ceiling up here. When we got to the D-line, when he got to Aaron Donald, he took his tag and he put it right up, right at the top of the ceiling. He said, it's the best football player I ever seen. And so then we took him with the second first round pick. And I'll tell you what, he has been unbelievable since then. And you know what the thing is, Sean?
Incredible.
I was living probably about 20 minutes from the office. And then I moved into this new building, which is closer to the office. And he happened, when we drafted, he happened to get a place there. And so he lived down the hall from me. He's, you know, and we see each other from time to time. And, you know, as a coach, you always watch players. You kind of gather, you know, them as people and what they do. This guy was always there early. He stayed late. He wasn't out in the streets. He wasn't going to the clubs. He was always all about business, all about football. And I just kind of watched him, you know. I didn't, you know, we say hi and that. I didn't ever really, you know, I hadn't sat down and talked to him. And then, you know, more and more as I watched him, you know, we would, you know, have small conversation. So then my daughter, Jeff, got her hired there to do an internship because she had graduated from LSU in 3.5 years. And then she did the internship at Tampa with the Buccaneers. Tony Dungy recommended her there. And so she got hired. They interviewed her and they hired her. They said, well, we'll call you in a couple of days. As she was driving home, they called her instead of hiring her. That she was coming home. So she had to turn around and go back to Tampa, and she got hired there. So then she was there a year or so. And so then she interviewed with the Rams. She ended up getting hired with the Rams. So she got affiliated with the players' foundations and started doing different things and working in media and all that. And she was Erica's sharp. Erica's smart, graduated in 3.5 years. She traveled the world. She's been everywhere. And so I never worried about her because she could hold her own. And so my last year at St. Louis, but anyway, we drafted him. So then my last year was in 2015. I come back down to Florida and Erica, and that's when the Rams moved to LA. And so then she would just work with Players Foundations. So I don't ever ask her about her private life. I don't ask nothing. And so then, maybe a few years later, she calls Yvette and I, and she says, Aaron and I are dating, it don't get weird. Now, she had stopped working with the Rams. You know, she stopped working with them. And so I told her, I'm happy. I said, I love Aaron. I said, because I knew the type of person that he was. He is a great human being, outstanding human being.
That's great.
And when on the football field, he different type of person. And this is the other thing I told him just from watching him. I said, you know what, Aaron? I said, the thing that I like that you do, you don't never lead with your head. You're always using your arms. You're always pushing him. And he bench pressed 500 pounds. And he was strong as an ox. And he was always in condition. He was always taking care of himself. He was always training. He was doing everything to get himself ready. Everything, Sean. And then I appreciate what Sean McVay did to give him time. Because he was a veteran guy. They never have to worry about him being in shape because he was always going to be in great shape. Always. Yeah. And he always took care of himself. But he was special. He's a special man. And I'm proud of him. I'm glad to call him my son-in-law. But I'm also glad that there was times when he's always been in the top five, top three as far as the best football players in the National Football League. He's outstanding. And the thing is, Sean, and you talk to people, they all say, Who do you have to stop? We got to stop Aaron Donald. Just like with
Coach of
Detroit, they would have to put, Sean, they put two and three guys on him every time. It'd be a guard and tackle. A guard tackle a center, the guard tackle
and
running.
He still makes plays.
Yeah, and they put three guys on him, you know, and then he cracks me up when I hear him say, well, you know, he slowed down a little bit. If you got three guys on you all the time, you think that you're not going to slow down a little bit? Give me a freaking break. There was times when he would still beat double teams. He would split double teams. He was unbelievable. He was unbelievable talent. And the mindset, Sean, he would study. He would come after a game when he'd get home. He would, at night when the kids would go to bed, he would watch the game film of the game. He would watch it. He would study it. He would study during the week. During the week when I was there, he'd come home from practice. He'd eat dinner. He'd hang out. And then he would go study his opponent. He would study the people that he had to go against. And I say, well, yeah, you going against so-and-so. Yeah, I went against him. I'm going against him last year. I know him. I know this guy. I know what he tries to do. He studied the game. He knew exactly what he needed to do against who he needed to do it with. And I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of him and what he's accomplished and what he's done and how he is. He is a family man. And I don't know how much longer he's going to go. It ain't none of my business, but I'm sure when he makes that decision to step away, you know, he'll do it. But he is an amazing person. He's a great, one of the greatest football players I've ever seen. I mean, he's one of the greatest that's ever played the game. And I would say that if he wasn't my son-in-law. He is one of the greatest players I've ever seen.
Hey, Coach, last two questions for you. What's one message that you try to share with kids who look up to you?
Just be yourself. Be smart, get your education, be careful who you hang with. And I tell guys, I even tell college guys this. I say, guys, you might hang around somebody when you were growing up, but then you go off to college, you don't know what they're into. You don't know what they've been involved in, and you come back and hang with them, and then all of a sudden, you are in a situation that you don't want to be in.
Coach, the last question for you, what's one message you have for youth sports parents today?
If I was talking with youth parents, some parents try to coach their kids and they don't want to be coached by their parents. Some kids are okay being coached, you know, by their parents. And I would just say, let them play whatever sport they want to play because they'll find their niche and they'll find out what they want to do. Now, in some cases, parents have forced kids to play and they end up doing all right. So, yeah, I guess it can work two ways. But I would say just let them play all the sports and let them, they'll feel comfortable in what they want to do. And if they want to play, they'll play it. And just let them make up their own minds. But I shouldn't say don't force them because there's some parents who have forced kids to do it, you know? But for me, I wouldn't force them to play it because if they don't excel at it, they might get mad at you for you forcing them to do it. But in some cases, you force them to do it, they end up being pretty good. So I guess as a parent, you got to decide if your kid is going to accept what you say or if he's just going to rebel against what you say. And you got to determine what avenue you want to take with them as far as playing sports. Because if you take them to sporting events and they see it, they may catch on and say, I like it. I want to try that. And then they'll do it. And then they got to perfect their craft. That means they got to spend time doing it. But I would let them play all the sports that they want to play. And they'll pick out what they want to play. And don't get angry or mad at them because if they may not excel in it. Because every kid is not going to be a pro player. You know, they'll decide on what they want to do. That's what I believe.
Well, Coach Ray Sherman, I had an absolute blast talking to you. Thank you so much. It was good to reconnect and just get a chance to talk about, you know, your incredible career.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. And now that I have your number, I can stay in touch with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Winning is Not Everything. Please make sure to like the podcast and subscribe to the podcast so you can immediately get the latest episode. If you have any questions or comments, please visit my website, seankjensen.com, and go to the contact page. You can even leave me a voice recording. And of course, I want to thank my presenting sponsor, TeamSnap. Whether you're a coach, administrator, or brand looking to reach the youth sports community, TeamSnap connects the world of youth sports. Visit TeamSnap.com or download the TeamSnap app from your app store. Until next time, I'm Sean Jensen.